So good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We get to start something a little new today. We're going to start talking about our theme for 2019. And so you just got introduced to it. We're going to be talking about passion today. Before we do that, kind of wanted to take a few minutes and just kind of review a little bit this past year, because we've got a lot to celebrate here. Randy kind of alluded to that a little bit. I was worried he was going to have to take off his shoes to start counting for a minute there. We were running out of fingers and we needed some toes there, but we got it. But we're good. But really, when he alluded to it, that, you know, Cornerstone is known for a lot of things. And when you ask people in the community about Cornerstone, I think you do hear that we are a church that makes a difference. That we are a church that cares. We're a church that really seeks to build relationships with people who don't know Jesus, so we can share Jesus with them. And our theme for 2018 was connect, and we were working on how we connected with God, how we connected with each other, and how we connected with our community. And I think we did a good job of that this year. I think that was really... I think having a focus helped us kind of stay on track and stay focused on what we really needed to do. A lot of things we had this year, you saw how we connected through our life groups and through the different service opportunities we had. We were able to hire Larry part-time as our connections leader this year. We were able to baptize 11 people this year. And so we're up to 179 total people who have been baptized here at Cornerstone. That's pretty awesome. That's something we can celebrate, that, hey, that shows that we are really making a difference for the kingdom of God, that we're sharing Christ and people are accepting Christ and we're seeing the life change. It's been an active year, from everything from hosting concerts here to community meals to our Praising in the Park outreach. We had a ton of people go down and help pack shoe boxes for Samaritan's Purse. We had two mission trips this year. I think that's the first year we've really had two big mission trips. We had a mission trip to Nicaragua back in July, and one before that in June to India. Both trips were just incredible. The India mission trip actually sent a team there to help rescue girls out of sex trafficking, and they ran a camp to work with these women who have been rescued, and just incredible week of ministry there. We also our Nicaragua trip, we were able to continue working with the Because We Care Ministries, who we've been serving with for over 10 years now in Nicaragua. I'm actually going back in March to do some pastor training in Nicaragua, so we've got a long-term relationship there, and it's just been great to see that take place. Not only that, we've hosted all sorts of outreach and community events here, things like blood drives and prom dress giveaways, and the Easter event we hosted here was really cool, where kids, the walk with Jesus, that kids got to come through. All this stuff, I mean, there's just so much going on at Cornerstone. As a pastor, sometimes I'm overwhelmed because I don't know everything that's going on. And that's a good thing, right? I'm like, what's going on at the church today? Oh, we got something. That's cool. Well, that's great. That's awesome. If things are, we've got people serving and things happening that I don't even have to be a part of, or I don't even have to be aware of, because what we see is ministry is taking place. And that really excites me. And that's not even to talk about all the stuff through our kids' ministry and youth ministry that has happened throughout the year. So I just want to thank you. You know, here we are, the last Sunday of the year. We kind of step back and just kind of take a deep breath a little bit and reflect a little bit about where we've been, but we also want to talk about where we're going. This Cornerstone Outreach Center that we're taking our Christmas offering up for, we really are excited about it. And I know you've been hearing about it, but we want to continue telling you a little bit about it. Today's kind of the last day through the end of the year, we're collecting our Christmas offering. And I know as of last Sunday, the total was at over $22,000 for our Christmas offering so far. So that's pretty awesome. And you know, our goal was at least $35,000. So that was just to help us not only buy the building, but start, you know, outfitting the building to use it, and also help pay the increased expenses throughout the year from having a building like that. So Just ask that you can Cornerstone Christmas offering envelopes are in your seat back. You can also give online. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to our website at mycornerstone.org/outreach, and you can read about it and kind of see a little bit of the plan for how we're going to use that building. So that's something we're excited about. We know that building can be used for a lot of things, everything from youth meetings to community meals to all sorts of community events and meetings, such as like at the NA meeting that meets here at Cornerstone twice a week, all sorts of groups that we have that need more space. That's going to be a great option for us. So just thank you in advance for your generosity in supporting that. Today, I really wanted to spend the rest of the time I have with you to introduce our theme for 2019. And I think having a theme like this really kind of helps us as a church stay focused. And when I've been praying and thinking through this, there was one word that just kept coming up in my mind over and over again, and it was the word passion. And what's great about this word passion is it's something that I think we all want passion, but we don't even know how to have passion sometimes. And not only that, when you look at the word passion, it's actually got a biblical root, right? It's a word that is tied to Christ. Passion is one of those words that people use without really understanding the original meaning of the word. When most people refer to passion, what they're thinking about is that excitement, those strong emotions, those intense desires, that enthusiasm. When you think about a passionate person, that's what you think about, is an enthusiastic person, someone that's really into it, someone that's just like turned on, you know, excited, crazy all the time. That's a passionate person. But I want you to know that passion doesn't really have to deal with your personality, right? Passion goes far beyond that. Passion is such a key ingredient to living life truly alive that we need to understand what it is. And the root of the word passion is found in the Latin word passio, which means suffering. And you say, whoa, wait. Suffering and passion, how do those two go together? On the surface, right, that seems like those are two words that don't go together, like passion and suffering. How does that work? Well, when you look at this and really start understanding what the word really means, I'm going to give you a new definition this morning. Here's a new definition for what is passion. It's a willingness to suffer for what you love. It's a willingness to suffer for what you love. Now, that may be a little bit different than what you, when I said the word passion, that may be a little bit different than what you thought I was going to talk about this morning. That may be a little bit different because you really can't have, right, just like you can't separate the core of an apple from the apple itself, suffering is always at the core of passion. And so you can't have one without the other. It's interesting that the last journey of the life of Jesus, that last week of his life, the last supper to his resurrection, was called the Passion. Have you ever thought about that? That's where we get the word. So really, this definition, I hope to maybe change your understanding of what passion really is. And so it's not just something that excites you. It's not just something that you're enthusiastic about. This is something that I care so much about that I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to set aside my personal preferences so I can follow after it. That's what passion really is. Here's, if you're following along in your notes this morning, you can follow along in your bulletin. You can also follow along on YouVersion. If you're online, you can pull that up. Here's the first point this morning if you're taking notes. Nothing great is accomplished without passion. Nothing great is accomplished without passion. I want you to understand that passionate people change the world. Would you agree with that? That passionate people really do change the world. There's a German philosopher named George Hegel. He said this. He said, nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion. And if you think about that, you know it's true. Because, and even, I mean, outside of the church, you look at people like Walt Disney, right? Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, people like that. Those are people that had a strong vision. They had strong passion for what they believed in, and they went out and did something that changed the world. Jesus is of course an example of that, someone that's very passionate, that's willing, right, to sacrifice, that's willing to suffer for the sake of others. And when you think about it, the driving force behind great art, great music, great literature, all the stuff that we deal with in life is passion. Passion is what makes those things great. Passion is what enables us and drives us, right, to find new cures for diseases. Passion is what equips athletes to go and sacrifice and do something incredible that was not even thought possible. Passion is what sustains you as you go for goals and you move through life to do things that God is calling you to do. And so I want you to understand that God really does want you to live a passionate life. He wants you to sense the passion that he has put within you. We see this in Scripture. One day a man walked up to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, what's the most important commandment given by God?" And I want you to hear the passion, right, that Jesus shared this verse. Mark chapter 12, I'll kind of read the whole story, the backstory too. It says, one of the teachers of the religious law, he was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? I want you to hear the passion here. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. But the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So what Jesus says, he said there's really only two things that matter in life, loving God and loving other people. But he said we should not love people and God in this kind of wimpy way and just kind of tolerate people. No, he said we really got to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. In the Message paraphrase, I love how Eugene Peterson says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your passion, all of your prayer, and all of your intelligence, and all of your energy. Think about that. Your passion, your prayer, your intelligence, and your energy. That's what we're called, right? That's passion right there. That's showing. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you've got to live with passion because it deserves everything you have. We're not talking about a half-hearted devotion here. Colossians 3, Paul says it this way, whatever you do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Whatever you do it for the Lord. And so that means if you're at your job in the workplace and you're just going through the motions, you've got to realize, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord, right? It means that whatever you do, you're doing it for Jesus. And so wherever you're at, wherever whatever God has called you to do, you're doing it with passion because you're doing it not for people, but you're doing it ultimately for God. And so we're often, though, think about this, we're passionate about everything but God. We're passionate about movies we watch. You're passionate about going and shopping and getting the clothes that you know are on special or whatever. We're passionate about certain kinds of cars. We're passionate about restaurants. We're passionate about football. And I stayed up to midnight last night watching football, right? Why? Because I love football and I want to watch it and I'm getting excited about this. And we're passionate. We're passionate people. But what society has kind of drilled into our minds, you can be passionate about anything. You can be passionate about your cell phone. You can be passionate about your laptop or technology, or you can be passionate about TV or whatever. You can be passionate about everything, but it's really not okay to be passionate about God because if you are, they'll just label you a kind of a fanatic or a kind of a crazy person, right? People don't bat an eye if you go to a football game and you stand up and you start cheering and you're going crazy. People just think, oh man, look at that, he's got some spirit, that's awesome. You do that in church, people look at you like you're crazy, right? We accept passion, in our society and everywhere else except church and everywhere else except for God. And so for us, we've got to understand when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to do it with passion, with all of your heart. He's calling for a full devotion. He's asking us to be all in. He's asking us to hold nothing back. In Romans 12, where it talks about what a disciple looks like, this is what it says. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That sounds like passion to me, right? I mean, that sounds like passion to me. When you read that, it's describing what someone who follows Jesus looks like. That whole chapter, Romans chapter 12, and we get to this, don't be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And if you notice, it says keep, and what that means, it's not automatic. It means it's something we've got to work at. You don't stay on fire automatically for God. You've got to it means you've got to maintain it. You've got to build it. You've got to nurture it. You've got to grow this passion in your life. And so passion, it's not tied to your age. You can be old and not be passionate, or you can be old and passionate. Passion and age have nothing to do with each other. It has nothing to do with personality. You don't have to be an extrovert to be passionate. Everyone was born with this God-given sense of passion. So what happens? How do we lose our passion? And you see this, right? You come across people who no longer have passion. They don't have passion for their job. They don't have passion for their family. They don't have passion for their marriage anymore. They don't have passion for their church anymore. You know, I mean, when I say that, don't you get a picture in your mind of people that you know who are struggling to have that passion in life? And it may not be someone else you're thinking about. It may be you. Maybe that's you here this morning. You're here and you're like, I'm just not as passionate as I used to be. I used to be the first one at church. I used to be the one who volunteered for everything. But now I'm just cynical. Now I'm frustrated. Now I just want to step back and let everyone else do it. If that's you, I really want to challenge you this morning to understand what passion is. How do we lose our passion? Let's keep going in our notes this morning. How do you lose your passion? We lose our passion when we take our eyes off Jesus. When that happens, we're in trouble. When we take our eyes off Jesus, then we start getting ourselves in a position where we're not as passionate as we should be. I'm telling you, one of my greatest fears as a pastor is to see our church, or really any church for that matter, lose their passion for following Jesus. Whenever we get to the point that we really don't care about what we are doing, where we're just going through the motions, I'm telling you, we might as well just go ahead and shut the doors. When we get to the point where church is just about sustaining meetings every week and just keeping everything going, then we might as well close the doors and let someone else do it that has passion. That's how strongly I feel about this. And my greatest fear is that for our church or any church, we'll just get to the point where they say, we've done it before. Let's just show up. Let's just get, we got to do. No, I don't want us going through the motions. I want to see us get back to this definition that I gave you, that we have a willingness to suffer for what we love, a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to serve, a willingness to put aside our personal preferences for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's passion. That should be what we're all about. Are we willing to suffer and to sacrifice so that we can follow Jesus and we can show other people how to do that? That's what a church is. It's not about what we get out of it. It's not about everything for our benefit. It's not about all the stuff that we make church about. We've got to get back to why we really exist. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. When we take our eyes off Jesus, what happens? One of the things that trips us up is sin. And so we find ourselves with sin that pulls us away from living that passionate life. So that's one of the things we've got to deal with. And then it says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this how? By keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is how we run the race of life and don't grow weary and don't give up and don't get frustrated. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, what did he do? He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. This is the ultimate comeback right here. It's like, you think you had it tough? You're still alive, so why are you complaining? This is like the pull up your big boy pants and just suck it up and keep going because you're still alive. That's what that verse tells us, right? I mean, you have not suffered yet to the point of death, so what do you have to complain about? Think about Jesus and how much he suffered for you. This is why we can be passionate. Right? This is why we look back. We can't give up on God because God didn't give up on us. And so when I talk about passion, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, because anytime we take our eyes off Jesus, we start complaining about our problems. We get caught up in sin. We lose our passion for our life. We become self-centered. It's all about me and what I get out of it. And so what this reminds us is, hey, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, then our life becomes all about running the race that he has set out for us. It's following the path that he has made for us. That's what we're talking about here. So how do we ignite our passion? I want to go over kind of three things today that will help ignite our passion. If you're here and you say, I don't really have that type of passion in my life, I'm just kind of here. I want to give you three things that will kind of ignite your passion. Here's the first thing. The first thing, we reach the lost. We reach the lost. If you want to ignite your spiritual passion again, then it's amazing what happens when you actually share your faith and you see someone come to Christ. I'm telling you, almost nothing reignites passion more quickly than when you start a conversation about Jesus with an unbeliever. And when you share your faith, when you tell someone about how they can have a relationship with God, about how they can confess their sins, how they can repent and turn to God, and how their life can be turned around, and they can have a relationship with the God who created them, it's amazing what happens to you. It's amazing that the effect that has on us. When you see a life truly changed. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, this is what keeps me going. It keeps you going through all the stuff that you have to deal with, right? As a pastor, all the because there's the helping people through conflict and helping people through relationship issues, all that stuff that can be very draining. What keeps you going is when you step back and you say, you know, I look out and I see faces and I see changed lives. I see people who didn't used to be in church or didn't used to know God. And I think about those 179 people that we have baptized here at Cornerstone. I think about the lives that have been changed and the families that have been changed, the marriages that have been restored, all because of Jesus. So when we reach the lost, it's amazing what that does for us. Jesus commanded us to go with the gospel into all the world and to the ends of the earth, to every nation, to every creature. Jesus even said, I came to seek and to save the lost. It was interesting. George Gallup did a survey. He surveyed 13,000 people in over 130 countries who once attended church but no longer do. One question he asked is, what would need to happen for you to return to church? Do you know what the number one answer was? The number one answer was passion in the lives of the members and leaders. In a survey that was asking people, why have you left church and why won't you come back, the number one thing missing was passion. If we really believe that Jesus died for our sins, how can we not be passionate about that? If we really believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He came to earth in human form, lived a perfect life, He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God, how could we remain silent about that? How could we not be passionate? And so when we think about that, what people want to see, they want to see that we really believe what we say we believe. They want to see us take our faith seriously. If God has given us this abundant life, we need to be sharing it. And the Bible tells us that we are a new creation, right? We're a new creation in Christ, that we've been cleansed by our faith in Jesus. We know we're to live holy lives, that we're to be separated from the world, but He's also called us to go into that same world and share the hope that we found in Jesus. And so I just think about that. What I love about people who have just recently come to faith in Jesus is they're excited about it. They want to tell others about it. They're excited about learning. They may not understand how to pray or how to study the Bible or what to do, but they're wanting to pitch in and serve. They're wanting their life to make a difference because they finally found what they've been missing their entire life, that relationship with the God who created them. And so for us, what happens is over time, as we grow in our faith, we tend to isolate ourselves from people who don't know Jesus. And we do this unintentionally, right? We do this unintentionally. We start going to church and hanging out with the people we go to church with, and these are good things until it comes to the point where we no longer even know people who don't know Jesus or where we don't notice them anymore. We kind of surround ourselves, and I've talked about this before, we surround ourselves in this Christian bubble, so to speak, and we forget what it's like to live apart from Jesus. And so if you want to ignite your passion, I'm telling you, start sharing your faith with people who don't know Jesus. Start hearing their story. Start listening to them. Start serving them. Start helping them and help showing them what Jesus really means to you. And really, evangelism, it's simply sharing what Jesus has done in your life. It's not complicated. You don't have to be a biblical scholar to share your faith. Anyone can do it. It's just simply talking about Jesus and what He's done and what you found in Jesus. And so, I just want to challenge you a little bit about that. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 5, Matthew, who was a tax collector, he when he decided to follow Jesus, the first thing he did was to throw a big feast, a big party, and invite all of his pagan friends to come join him. I mean, that's the first thing he did is get all the tax collectors to his house. And this made the religious people very angry. They were accusing Jesus of eating with and drinking with and being a friend of sinners when Matthew did this. And Luke chapter 5, this is how Jesus responded to him. He said, well, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders, an invitation to a changed life, which changed inside and out. This is why we've got to reach the lost. This is why that God has commissioned us to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? To teach them to obey everything that Christ has commanded. This is what we're called to do as believers, to reach the lost. Here's the second way we can ignite our passion. We can serve where we're gifted. Now, the way I'll kind of explain this, God has given you certain gifts, certain talents, certain abilities, and He put them in you for a purpose. And I'm telling you this because I've seen it so many times. If you're stuck in a job or a career that you don't really get to use your talent, you're not going to be passionate about it. All right? If you go to work and nobody appreciates anything you do, you don't get to use any of your gifts or abilities, you're just there. What happens is you're just punching a clock. You're just passing time, right? It's hard to be passionate when you really don't get to use your gifts or your abilities and your talents that God has blessed you with and God has given you with. Now, let's pull back. We can see that in the workplace, and you've seen it there. Let's think about it in a church, all right? Think about it in a church. If you're doing something where you're not gifted and you don't care about, you're not going to be passionate about it. I've seen examples of this, where churches say, okay, if you have a kid in our kids' ministry, you've got to serve. And I'm going to tell you, we don't do that here at Cornerstone, and I think it's a terrible idea. You know why? Because do you want just someone who really doesn't like kids serving and doing kids' ministry at your church? Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you like kids. Let's be honest, right? You can deal with your own kids sometimes, but you don't like everybody else's kids. And do you want those type of people serving in your nursery? Do you want those people serving in your kids' ministry? No, I want people who are passionate about kids serving. I want people who are passionate about our youth serving with our teenagers. I want people who are passionate about worship leading worship. Do you see where I'm getting at? You've got to find where your passion is. You've got to find out where you're gifted. And if you are serving and you are miserable and you're complaining, that's not where your passion is. Okay? That's if you're not happy and you're complaining about everything and how everything's done and who's doing this and I can't believe they're doing this, I'm just going to step back and make a big assumption here and say you're not really gifted there, and that's not really where your passion is. Because our passion brings joy. Our passion leads us to do things that, man, I'm doing this, right, to suffer, right? Go back to our definition, to suffer for the sake of God. It's to suffer and sacrifice and say, I don't care what this means, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to give my heart, soul, mind, and strength to do this. And that's what passion really looks like. Now, I love Rick Warren. He talks about our shape. He goes through this whole process that you've got spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And all of those things kind of mix together to help us find where we need to serve. And as a church, part of our role is to help you find what you're passionate about. It's to help you find where you can serve. It's to help you get plugged in to use your gifts. Now, I want to give you a caution here. And I'm speaking to the church, and there's times that I just need to kind of share from my heart. Passionate people, passion can be a great thing, but there's a dark side to passion as well. Because passionate people can be judgmental people. Passionate people can be judgmental people. Not everyone will have the same passion for what God has called you to do. God's taken you, He's wired you and given you the gifts and the abilities, the talents, the experience, the personality. He has put all those things together to create you. But just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean everybody else has to be as passionate about it as you are. Why? Because everyone else has their different passions and abilities. That's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. We're passionate about different things. If we all looked and did the exact same thing, we wouldn't have passion doing it, right? But we can find where we're passionate. I love one of the best books I've read in the last few years. It was a book by a guy named Larry Osborne. He's a pastor out in California. And it was a book titled Accidental Pharisee. Really interesting book. And he talks about this a lot in that book. And he says, the simple fact is that once we have found our passion, once we have found that implication of the gospel that stirs our hearts, we find it inconceivable that anyone else would have a different passion, that they can't see things the way we do. And it's not long before we begin to criticize or exclude them. And I think that's the danger, right, with passion when we talk about it. So when we talk about being passionate, we've got to be careful to not be judgmental as well. We've got to be careful not to look down on others who don't share the same passion that we have. Here's the third way we ignite our passion. The third way we can ignite our passion is we stay nourished. We stay nourished. What do I mean by that? At its root, passion is a spiritual issue. It's a matter of the heart. You can't restore your passion with money. You can't restore your passion with appeal. It comes from the heart. And so God gave you the ability to talk with Him and commune with Him, to abide with Him, and that is where our passion That's where we get the strength for our passion. You've got to nourish your spirit. I'm telling you, every week there are going to be circumstances, there are going to be events, there's going to be stuff that happens to you, relational conflicts, problems at work, health issues. Those things are going to drain you when people misjudge you or criticize you, disappointments you face. All those things are draining in life. And if we're not staying nourished, if we're not filling our tank, so to speak, we're not going to stay passionate. We've got to nourish our spirit, because if we don't, our heart's going to grow cold, it's going to grow hard, and we're just going to end up being a cranky, grumpy old person. I'm not pointing any fingers, okay? I'm fighting that myself, and for all of us. I mean, that's what happens when you don't stay nourished. You just end up grumpy, and nobody wants to be around a grumpy person or someone who's cynical. And so just as you trusted Christ to save you, you've got to trust Him to handle each day's problems. You got to abide in Him. Colossians 2 says this. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." That's what a passionate person looks like. Your roots have grown down deep, and you're overflowing with thankfulness. And so if you want to stay passionate for your entire life, you've got to get plugged in to God. There's a quote that I've heard for years when it comes to passion. And I looked it up and did some research on it this week, and it's interesting. And maybe you've heard this. It says, "Set yourself on fire with passion, and people will come for miles to watch you burn." Have you heard that? It's attributed to John Wesley. Set yourself on fire, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Now, the interesting thing about that quote is we don't really think John Wesley said it. Now, if you Google it, it's going to say, you'll see it everywhere, and it says John Wesley said this, but we really don't have proof that he did say it. But it's an interesting quote nonetheless. But there's a truth for that, all right? If you are on fire for God, people will come for miles around to see it. People are drawn to that type of passion, and that type of passion comes from staying connected to Christ. Now, how are we going to start 2019 here at church? We're going to start by learning how to study the Bible. So the next month, we're going to dig deep, and it's going to be practical, and we're going to learn how we can study the Bible, how we can dig into the Bible and learn and grow from it. And so I'm really excited about that, because that's the one thing to me that can really ignite the growth of a church is when the members of a church get in the Word and start reading and start learning and start growing. And so we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. We're going to learn how to spend time with Jesus. Finally, in closing, we should be passionate for Christ because He's passionate for us. Every Christian, we need to step back, and I saw this on a blog this week, and I want to share it with you. It's five questions we need to ask ourselves. One, what am I most passionate about? Are you really passionate? What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about insignificant things or sinful things or about things of the kingdom of God? Here's the second question. How will people remember me? How will they remember you? How will they remember what you're passionate about? Here's the third question. Am I satisfied with my passion for God as it stands right now? If one is cold, five is lukewarm, and 10 is hot, where would you fall in that scale? And are you okay with it? I think one of the great tragedies of our modern age is that people are like, I'm just doing okay, but they're fine with that. That complacency, right? That complacency, I'm not really doing that great, but it's okay. I'm getting by. I'm at the bare minimum. I'm into heaven, so that's all that really matters. So are you satisfied with your passion for God as it stands right now? Here's the fourth one. How can I keep my spiritual temperature high when I'm surrounded by all these influences that try to cool me down, right? When you go through life, how are you nourishing yourself is really what that question's asking. And here's the fifth one. What needs to change so that God becomes my greatest passion? What needs to change in your life? Think about a time when your spiritual passion was high. What caused it? How did you get to that point? What's happened since then that's called your spiritual passion to wane? In Revelation chapter 2, we see warnings to churches. And in Revelation 2, verse 4, it says this, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me, or you don't love each other as you did at first. Look at how you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. This is a warning, right, to a church that has become, that's lost its first love. This is a church that kind of forgot why they were doing what they were doing. And God is stepping in and saying, I'm going to remove your position of influence. I'm going to remove your witness, right? But if you don't get back and you do what you once did, this is a challenge for any church, but for our church, we've been in existence now since Cornerstone started in 2004. We're not a new church anymore, right? We're not a new church anymore. So we've got to continually go back and ignite our passion for what we do and for what God's called us to do. And I want to invite you to join me. I want to invite us all to, let's do this together as the body of Christ. Let's serve Him faithfully. The praise team is going to come back up, and we're going to close with our time of response this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to repent this morning for the times in our life where we're not passionate for You. And Lord, I pray that we can all kind of reignite that spiritual passion inside of us to follow You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us to reach the lost, and help us, Lord, to really nourish our faith. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us to stay strong in our faith and do that. Lord, I pray for people in this room this morning. If there's anyone here that does not know Jesus, that's the most important decision that you can ever make in your life, is to surrender your life to Christ, to admit that you need God in your life, to confess the sin in your life, and to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to save you. When Jesus died on the cross, he died on the cross to take all of our sin and all of our shame, all the condemnation, all the guilt upon Himself. And in exchange, He gives us the righteousness of God. He restores us so that we can have a relationship with God. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to invite you to surrender your life to Him. You can pray with me right now. Just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I need You in my life. Lord, I want to confess my sin this morning. I know I've disobeyed You. I know I've disappointed You. I know I've run from You. But today, right here in this place, Lord, I want to surrender. I want to put my faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. I trust Jesus. I believe it when He said that He went to the cross and He died for my sins. So Heavenly Father, come into my life. Save me. Change me. Transform me. Help me to be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just want to just thank You this morning that we can meet as a church. And as we go into 2019, help us to be people of passion.